From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled, The Spirit of Revival. In spite of God's promise of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to the church, it is a sad fact that God's people, individually and corporately, fail to experience that power and seem to feel that the Lord has often withdrawn Himself. Among the causes are failure to confess sin, failure to lament the spiritual dearth, and a lack of experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yet seasons of declension in the church are never beyond the power of the Holy Spirit. The history of the Christian church has been marked by conditions that seemed hopeless, yet God raised up men full of the Holy Ghost, and revival became a reality. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, Are there any dangers in praying for revival? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
I've been asked if there are any dangers in praying for revival. I've already defined revival as a special divine moving, a movement of the sovereign God visiting His people with overwhelming power, demonstrating to them His glory and through them His power that builds up His church and brings sinners, usually in multitudes, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are two great extremes here. There are people who deny that there's such a thing as praying for revival. They despise that. Some people say, where we are in prophecy, there'll never be another movement before the Lord Jesus comes. There's nothing between us and the rapture, therefore we don't need to pray for revival. Well, by the same logic, you shouldn't pray for next Sunday's services. You shouldn't pray for anything. Just because you say there's nothing between us and the rapture, don't pray for anything except the rapture, according to that theory. And that's nonsense. I wonder at what point in history it became foolish to pray that God will intervene in the affairs of His church with a mighty demonstration of His glory and of His power. It hasn't happened. Then you've got the other extreme, where people long for the great revival, sometimes because they have views of the spectacular and the magnificent and the widespread, the nationwide, and that's the only thing they're willing to pray for. As if that were the normal way that it is in God's work. If you look at the whole history of the church, you find that revivals are normally of fairly brief duration. They are special visitations of God, usually in answer to the fervent prayers of His people in a time of great need. And by the way, just to throw this in to make you think, it never occurs in a time of national prosperity. Just think of that. We're going into a time of not prosperity, but depression. And perhaps, I pray He will, but perhaps the Lord in grace will use it to bring people to their knees. But be that as it may, these are usually fairly brief manifestations of the glorious power of God through the gospel. But we must go on with God every day. We must pray for the normal work of the church, the services, Sabbath by Sabbath, the preaching of the gospel, the outreach ministry, giving out the gospel one-on-one, in the home, in the place of work, in the neighborhood, however, whenever the Lord gives the opportunity. we must be praying about those things. In other words, having a burden for revival does not take the place of fulfilling my Christian calling in the duties and details of life, in the church, in the home, as a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, as a workmate, an employer, an employee, whatever. In all these relationships and areas, there are detailed duties that are mine and yours to fulfill. Praying for revival is a wonderful thing. I do it regularly. I have special prayer meetings for revival. But I never will neglect the ongoing prayer meeting of the church, the daily prayer that is my privilege before God, praying to see more of Christ, to know more of Christ, to grow more into Christ, that he may be fully formed in me, that I may love him and know him and serve him and represent him in all the relationships I have mentioned. That's the ongoing duty. Do all that, and certainly pray for revival, but avoid the two extremes of not praying at all, having no burden for revival, and putting your eggs all in one basket, that there's nothing but revival, where you neglect the everyday necessity of living for and serving Christ.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on thee and thee only. Give me a thirst for thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving thee wholly. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after thine. A passion for thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear thou my prayer, Lord, my power impart, not just to serve, but to love me with all of my heart. Father, fill with thy Spirit and fit me for service. Let love for Christ every motive inspire. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Be thou my joy and my soul's one desire. A passion for thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and a thirst for my God.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine, This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTVS Quarterly Magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Go back to Ezekiel 37. Now I know this is a prophecy and it has yet a literal fulfillment, but I believe also it's an outstanding parable that has a continuing fulfillment. In Ezekiel 37 we read, the hand of the Lord was upon me and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. Now, note those words, because it's only in the Spirit that you can see the rest of Ezekiel 37. You look at this with the eyes of the flesh and you'll come to a different conclusion. But when you're in the Spirit, you'll see this. He set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Here's the vision of the valley of dry bones, scattered upon the face of the earth. And he said unto me, here's the question, Son of man, can these bones live? Let's bring it into different language with the same meaning. Can God send revival, such a revival as will bring life to scattered, dead, dry bones? Ezekiel was not making any strong responses of faith at this point. He said, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Thou knowest. But the Lord said, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now what could be more stupid than standing talking to an excavated graveyard with all these dry bones scattered over the place? What could be more stupid in the mind of the flesh than to look at those bones and start preaching to them? That's not the way, you would say, to see anything much done. But that's God's way. And I tell you this, my friend, these bones can live. And they live first when God gets a man filled with the Holy Ghost. And when a man filled with the Holy Ghost starts doing what the world says is stupid and starts preaching to dead bones, telling them what to do. And by the mighty power of God, they'll do it. When the Spirit of God comes in, as He later does in verse 9, and breathes life into them, these slain shall live. So there's nothing could be more discouraging than the situation that Ezekiel presents, but God could send revival. When you think, very often we read history, you know, with rose-tinted spectacles. Everything was great in the past and everything's gruesome today. Well, that's not quite true, because of if you were living back in those days, they were saying the very same thing. Well, if you read in the period of England, just before the Great Awakening, under Whitfield and Wesley and others of their movement, Dalimore says in his Life of Whitfield that the life of England between 1730 and 1740 was foul with moral corruption and crippled by spiritual decay. Well, you would think that he was writing of our day, wouldn't you? Foul with moral corruption and crippled with spiritual decay. If you study that period of English history, you'll find that there were various great marks of sin. There was unfettered uncleanness. This went back to the restoration of Charles II to the throne of England, where he brought in with him a mighty reaction against Puritanism. And there was unfettered uncleanness running like a polluted stream from the court of the king right through the nation. There was, starting in 1662... political persecution for Christians, when in the year of the great ejection, many, many of the greatest ministers England ever had were thrown out of their pulpits and forbidden to preach, since they couldn't preach, at least in the places that they once preached. It led them to great prayer. And I thoroughly believe that the Great Awakening in following generations had largely its roots in the praying of persecuted saints. You can't tell me that John Bunyan's 12 years in Bedford Jail crying to God were years that God ignored. Prayers that God didn't answer, I couldn't believe that. Revival came as the result of prayer. There was political persecution. There was a deadening deism across the land. The church was gripped with its form of rationalism. These were the people that believed that God had wound up the universe like a clockmaker winding up a great clock, and then he just left it to tick its way through fate. But he was not involved. They didn't want a religion that touched the heart. They hated a religion that had what they called enthusiasm. Fanaticism. Now, I don't think that fanaticism is good in the Church of Christ. But if anybody were to cry, "I love the Lord," to these rascals, he was a fanatic. If anybody were to feel Christ in his heart, he was a fanatic. If anybody were to warn of hell, he was a fanatic. Oh, what a curse rationalism is in the Church of Jesus Christ. We have it today. Then there was what I would call a deficient defense of the gospel. Against deism, the church in England produced some of the greatest theological minds that it has ever known. Many of you have heard of Butler's Analogy, supposed to be one of the greatest apologetic works in the history of the Christian church. Now, I have had that book for years. I have read parts of it. And I want to tell you, there are many things that I would rather do than have to read the rest of it. And I confess that I maybe should have read every page and every line. But my, it's dry. It's as dry as dust. I think it was John Murray in Westminster used to say when they came to dry things and people said, "Professor, this is dry as dust," he would say, "Yes, but it's gold dust." Well, you couldn't say that about Butler's Analogy. It's just plain, ordinary dust. That's the kind of defense that was resulted. It was very learned. Very learned. But it was cold. And it was Christless. I have often said that it's my belief when the Church of Jesus Christ sinks into this kind of logical apologetic that is not centered on the vitality of the risen Christ, that it's a sign of her death and decay, and it never accomplishes anything. Oh, we have this deficient defense of the gospel today. Devoid of spiritual power? Do we not find it even in fundamentalist churches? Yes, they stand for what's right, thank God. And I do not for one moment undervalue the importance of that stand. But I want to tell you that for a man to stand up and say, "I'm against Rome, I'm against the World Council of Churches, I'm against the communists, I'm against this, I'm against the other thing," and there is no preaching of Christ. There is none of the fire and the life-transforming power of Christ. I tell you, for a man to do that is to add to the problem, not to solve it. There were in those days a carnal clergy, ministers. Thank God the nonconformist churches weren't nearly so bad in this regard, but a carnal clergy, ministers who were so taken up with this world. Do we not have those to men today? Do we not have this in the pulpit and in the pew? People who are more taken up with the business of this world than they are with the business of eternity. We had also the separatists, the nonconformists, the Presbyterians, the Congregationalists, the Baptists. They were all there in England in the 18th century. But they were stagnant separatists. Their preaching was cold. They were weak many times in theology. And those who weren't split up with needless divisions. I don't need to draw the parallel with today. It's too plain for anybody to miss. And the result was a godless nation. Yes, my friend, that was England before the Great Awakening. God in His grace raised a small handful of men, starting in the University of Oxford. And in grace in other places, as in Wales, he was preparing other small handfuls of men. At the same time over in New England, he was dealing with other small numbers of men. And he was warming their hearts. They were usually men of great intellect. Here in the United States, the leader of the revival was, at least in New England, Jonathan Edwards. Arguably the greatest philosophical and theological intellect this country has ever produced. These were usually men of great intellect. But it wasn't their intellect that brought revival. These were men whose hearts God had touched. Thank God, they found that however dark the day, it was not beyond the power of the Spirit of God. He is able.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.